Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Here we are, Bass U Live, broadcasting live from ICAST 2018. I'm excited. Two reasons. One is my guest left and right of me. I've got Johnny and Caleb with me, both missile guys. We're going to be talking missile baits here in a little bit. But before I do that, here's the other reason I'm excited. I'm actually sitting in the co-host chair. I haven't been here all day. It's been Petey Pete. Shout out to Pete for working his butt off today.
Working it.
And we didn't feed him either, which is strange. We didn't feed him anything all day. I don't understand that. But I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Let me remind you, this is unique. BU is the only educational platform that broadcasts live from ICAST like this. And we're trying to give you updates. This is a business-to-business show. So all these dudes watching right now,
right.
They never get here, man. So they're seeing this.
That's awesome.
Caleb, how would you describe ICAST? Because is this your first time or second?
This is my second year, but I spent a lot of time watching it from my desk at work.
Right?
And
you were that guy.
I was that guy. Dude, and you follow it on every Instagram handle, everything that you could find to try to cover it to make yourself feel like you're here.
Yeah.
This would have been awesome. I'd have ate into this, man.
So people watching right now, watching home, how would you describe ICAST? Give your description of it.
I think it's any fishing junkie out there that's got the hunger for fishing like we do, that it's got everything. Anything that you look at on Tackle Warehouse or any store is here and they're releasing new products. It's just everybody's here to talk fishing and show fishing products. It is the fishing guy's dream.
Yeah. Doesn't matter if you're saltwater, freshwater, inshore, you're a kayak freak.
Fly fishing?
Fly fisherman?
Yeah.
It's all here.
That's right.
Give me your perspective, John, from you're an angler, but you're also owner of Missile Baits and Missile Jigs. What does this show mean to you as a business owner?
To me, ICAST, you have to be here. I mean, if you own a business and you want to be a legitimate business in the fishing industry,
it's a must.
You have to be here.
Right.
It's just part of the cost of doing business.
Yeah.
And I feel like not only that, but like you have to come in here and make an impression and show the image of your brand, what your company's all about. Are you going to come in here and have a booth that's just in shambles or it's not professionally done or you have crooked backdrops, or are you going to be a company that has their stuff together, everything's very clean, very neat, are your people all organized, are you color coordinated on your outfits,
yes.
Stuff like that. Like I feel like little things like that matter, because that shows how you do business. And when the buyers show up, the distributors show up, the retailers show up, and they look and they're like, I like the way this company does things.
Yep.
And I feel like that's kind of what you have to do from a company perspective. But from an angler perspective, I've got to be here. I've still got to bounce around to the Spro booth and the Sunline booth. And, you're doing all that.
Yeah.
But it's good, because a lot of my sponsors, they know about what I do with Missile. And so they're like, okay, I know you got to do what you got to do. And then you get to us when you can. And so everybody on, that I'm associated with seems to be cool with that.
It's nice. It works out good.
Yeah.
Real quick, while we're here and we got Caleb here, I want to flash back to about 2 weeks ago, tournament of Lake Oahe, new body of water, smallmouth fishery, ultra clear water. Dude, 13th place. You stole it away from Atafo, who had 5 13th places.
He was telling
before
me that.
You.
Yeah.
But great event. You're not a smallmouth guy. You say flotant for me real quick.
Flotant.
You're a southern guy. You're a bayou guy. You're Louisiana. I love to say Louisiana. You're a Louisiana guy. Dude, I need to know real quick before we get into this stuff. How did you had a solid event. Tell me about it. Tell me about the baits. Tell me how you figured all that out.
I don't know. I had a relaxed practice there, I guess, because I knew that everybody was on the same playing field with, like, not having 10 years extra experience on me with there.
It was new. Yeah.
And, I was real efficient in practice, and I got bit early in practice, and it kind of kept my confidence going. Practice was everything, man, because I felt like once I got bit one spot, I felt like
you got momentum.
I got momentum going.
You know what to look for. You're looking at your chip.
That's
right. You kind of started seeing a rhythm going on.
And I learned, so like it's main lake points, right?
Main lake points.
Everybody was like bouncing on these main lake points, and you might hit 20, but you might get bit on 2.
Right.
And you could not make it work on them other 18.
Right.
No way.
Right.
They weren't there. They
what
didn't
was
live
the difference on those 2 points? Because I missed it. Me and John both missed that
deal. I didn't fish the tournament. I actually didn't fish the
tournament. What was the key to – why did those two out of the 18, why did those two
this
have
This might sound extremely unprofessional, but I have no idea.
Wow. That's a good answer.
I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be solidly honest.
Hey, to me, that's sometimes that's the whole deal.
That is the whole deal.
Don't ask why on everything. It is the way it is.
I have no explanation. There was bait there. That was my other theory.
Right.
There was bait there, and it just wasn't baiting every part of the lake. And I feel like those fish are trying to get on shad really hard.
Mm-hmm. Post spawn.
That's right.
Feed up.
That's right.
Yep. Tell me about the key baits, because I know you're a missile guy. I know you're throwing a lot of missile baits in that tournament. Right. Tell me about what you were using.
You know, I threw a shockwave on a swim bait, hit a lot in practice, and I caught some fish. The deal for me throughout the entire tournament was the bomb shot.
That's a new little drop shot bait that we've got. It's based on the D-bomb.
John gave me some for the start of this tournament in practice. I went pick it up from him, and, you know,
like I was selling crack.
It was, dude. I had to get him. He gave me like four colors, and he's like, yeah, I got a couple other colors. I made sure to get the other colors. But the deal was a shad colored Fishalicious and a green pumpkin. And
also alternating
a couple different colors. I had a pink too as well. When the water got a little dingy, I like Pinkalicious. Pinkalicious is great. You got to have pink.
Yep.
And then I dropped pink on him, and a lot of the fish I was seeing, but a lot of fish I wasn't. When I wasn't seeing fish, I was just making little short pitches in front of the boat on these humps and main length points. And I'm assuming, and what was going on in my mind is that these fish are swimming 12 to 20 foot over to come eat your bait.
Right.
And if they weren't in the right mood, they weren't going to eat it.
Right.
And there were so many fish that would look at your bait when you had to drop on some that they wouldn't eat it. But sometimes I would back off from where those fish were in that area, and I'd get one to eat.
Yeah.
They didn't go far.
Right.
They just knew you were there, is the way I was thinking about what was going on.
Now, there's a ton of people watching that are in the same boat as you. They're largemouth guys. They don't fish a lot of smallmouth. They're listening to us saying, how the hell did you figure out how to fish that drop shot that quick? Tell them a little bit about, you know, what you were doing with the drop shot. And I know the bait's key, because I know that a bait's a special bait. Yeah, but
that's special bait.
What were you doing with the... How are you working? Tell these guys how you're working and what that bait was doing in the water.
That first initial fall, I got a lot of bites on the first initial fall. But, you know, just once I'd let it hit bottom, I kind of let my line straighten out because, you know, when you do flick it out there a little bit, your line's, you know, got a big bow in it. I let that kind of straighten out. And maintaining bottom contact was the key.
Right.
I was using a quarter and a 3/8 ounce drop shot weight. 3/8 ounce ones were
heavier. Yeah.
When it was windy and heavier. Yeah. And I was fighting the wind, and if I had a big bow in my braid, it was harder for me to maintain bottom contact, and I never got bit like that. I don't know. It sounds funny.
Yep.
But in my mind, I had to position my boat to where I was either throwing into the wind or going with the wind to make sure I was maintaining bottom contact better.
Wow. That's cool. Now, John, I want to talk a little more about the bait, because I walked past your booth. We were over there a little while ago. Mm-hmm. People were walking past, and the one thing everybody was looking at that. We're going to talk about it in a second, but everybody was looking at that new drop shot bait.
Yeah, the little bomb shot.
Dude, tell me a little bit about it, and talk about different rigging methods. Because Caleb was talking about nose hooking it,
yeah.
But there's other stuff to do.
Yeah, it's like I said before, it's based on our D-bomb body style. Pete is raising his hand. He wants some. And so it's got the ribbed sides. It's got a solid core. And it's got a solid head, so you can nose hook it. It's got some meat up there that you can nose hook it with. But then when you want to Texas rig it, you can Texas rig it, and then that ribbed body, just like the D-bomb, man, it just collapses. So either way, you're going to have really good hookups. And then it's got a little beaver-shaped tail that's really thin. So you just barely move that little sucker, and man, that tail is just undulating.
Yep.
And flapping. And I think that makes a huge difference, because
Absolutely. Like
Caleb was talking about, you just pick up the slack from it, and just that movement of picking up that slack, that bait moves ever so slightly, and then it stops, and then the tail keeps undulating afterwards.
Yep.
And I feel like that's a lot of when you get those bites.
That's key.
So that's a big part of it. I mean, in from the sales perspective, we put 15 of the Limlo Jokers in a bag, and we're going to sell them for $3.99 retail. So I think value-wise, it's blowing away other drop shot baits on the market.
Yep.
You can't get better action. We got 10 different colors to choose from. I mean, everything from Super Crawl, which is an orange-based deal, to Green Pumpkin Flash. Got the Fishalicious,
that
the
Gobi
Shad
deal.
Color.
What was the Gobi color?
Gobi Bite, which has got that blue pearl belly with the green pumpkin and purple top. I mean, just like a Gobi up north. We got pretty much every color base covered, MM3. I mean, just... Oh, you know, Pinkalicious. We got all the color bases covered. So, I mean, it's cool bait. I feel like it's a no-brainer. And pretty much every retailer that we've shown it to ends up bringing it. I mean, we have dealers in Florida bringing that bait in.
Yo, you think that thing will catch any fish at Thousand Islands?
I don't want anybody else in the field other than a Missile Bates pro throwing.
That's right.
That's all I can say. Can we pull it off the market for a time? Pull off the market?
Yeah, pull it off. Just the Missile guys have it.
Our guys are so stubborn, so it's kind of funny, I feel like, because Ish was like, dude, can we keep it a secret? I'm like, dude, they ain't going to fish it. Not until we whoop them with it. Yeah. I mean, Caleb was like a gnat's ass away from whooping everybody with it up there at Owyhee. If you only brought four fish in one day.
Yep.
Dude, all you needed was another keeper.
And I've been right there.
How hard is that to do? Oh, wait a minute. I didn't catch a limit either day.
I thought you were stabbing at me. I was like,
wait a minute. I didn't catch a limit either day either. So, but yeah, if you get it in front of one, I feel like you.
The Louisiana boy that fishes dirty water and cypress trees and go up there and catch them.
That's actually a good testament to the effectiveness of it. It really is.
Right.
I got confidence in it quick. Like the first day I went out there, I started getting bit on it, and it's like my confidence was there.
Yeah.
And when times got tough, I still stuck with it, but that just wasn't around fish. When you got around fish, they ate it.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I want to switch gears and talk about another new bait, John. Released right now at the Missile Jigs booth. This is the other one. People were walking past. They couldn't stop looking at it. And this is a special bait.
Yeah.
This is a special bait. We both fished this bait last week at Owyhee, and we didn't have as good as finishes as Caleb, but for catching those shallow boulder fish.
Practice was a little different.
There were a lot more up.
Yeah, and there was clear water.
Those
shallow, clear fish, and, you know, like, I think, you know, we talked about it before the tournament. Once that wind changed directions and a lot of those boulders
muddied up,
you know, Ish and I think we talked about, we didn't know whether it was going to make it better or worse.
Right.
We didn't know.
Never been there. We never fished that lake, so we didn't know.
I can tell you, it does not make it better.
No.
It doesn't make it better. Other lakes I've seen it, you know, be real good. You can throw, you know, more aggressive like chatterbaits, spinnerbaits, things like that, and just wreck them in that stained water.
Yeah. I got to give you my story on this, and then I want to tell you a story from Ish. He fished this last week. My story goes back to, and you know, we've been working on, for those of you watching that think, you know, you wake up and it takes a week to design something. It doesn't work like that.
Not quite.
I've been lucky to work with this guy on three or four projects. It takes about a year to even get to the point where you're ready to do something. So we've been working on this a long time. Last fall, I got to fish the Upper Susquehanna River with Fletcher, one of the Shyrocks. And, man, it was unbelievable. It's a good place, and we caught a good amount on a Ned rig, a drop shot, some on a jerkbait. But then about 2 hours before we were done filming, I pulled this thing out, and I saw something happen. You know when the fish just tell you?
Yes.
I saw something happen that I haven't seen in a long time. And, dude, they went from biting it and having them hooked maybe outside the mouth, missing some, to everyone's choked. Everyone's choked. And this thing would not snag. And I want you to talk about the head design a little bit, but hard to snag it in gravel and rock. And, you know, on the Susquehanna, there's a lot of little crawfish. And that thing was so dead nuts on to what they were eating. It was unbelievable. Here's the other story real quick. I want to tell Ish's story. Last week at Owyhee in practice, Ish saw some big ones, three and a half pounders around some boulders. And he threw a drop shot on them. Couldn't get them to eat. He threw a wacky rig on them.
And he went through like 10 different baits
He just kept rotating. Went through a wacky rig, couldn't get him to bite. Tied on hair, couldn't get him to bite. And then he had one of these laying in the bottom of his boat. Hey, let me try that. Threw it out there. One of those 3.5 pounders comes like, swims away with it. Dude, that's a good story of the effectiveness of this. Why?
Right.
Why? Why is this thing so good?
I think it's a combination of the compact.
It's a big fish.
Was that a bass? What was that thing?
It's a snooky.
Snook.
Jeez, please.
They have it's just the compact size, and it's got, you know, the flare of the skirt, I think, makes a difference. And I don't know how else to explain it other than that it's a compact. Yeah, that's what a crawfish looks like, dude. It's a little compact.
It's what a little crawl looks like.
Exactly.
It's what a little crawl looks like. Look, in my opinion, you know, 9 times out of 10, when I look in my live well after I weigh fish, there are times I see, I call them lobsters. There are some times. But, dude, 9 times out of 10, dude,
they're
the crawfish
pinchers.
Dude, the crawfish I see are little.
Yep.
Dude, and to me, you know, when you're trying to match the hatch, mm-hmm. that's the deal. The other thing I want people to try to think about is micro jig is not a jig for a bait caster. No. This is, you're not flipping this no. and flotant.
I know. I'm not punching with
you're
that.
Not punching it. But when they want something subtle, like a Ned mm-hmm. rig is a good comparison to this. Almost like a spy bait. The key right. to a spy bait is its subtleness, right? Mm-hmm. Dude, this is subtle. This is a right. subtle bait. And it's going to work when stuff's tough.
So here's my take on a small crawfish. When they do that stance where they're going to you stop this jig, that's yep. a crawfish guarding. He's going to stand his ground.
Yep.
He has eight other legs that he's going to spread out.
Yep.
That's what a Ned rig is missing.
It doesn't have that flare.
It doesn't have the flare. The flare is the legs of the crawfish going out. It is a perfect tiny crawfish imitator.
Yeah.
I agree.
And it's another one of these ones in South Jersey. For those of you watching that are from Southern New Jersey, you know the winter leagues, John. We've been fishing them for
yeah.
I've been fishing them since I was Eric the intern's age. I think he's 12. Dude, in the winter in South Jersey, the fish in our lakes get on, and I'm not kidding you. You ready for this? You're going to think I'm nuts. They get on bugs, dude. They get on bugs. They get on larvae. They get on nymphs.
Yep.
And for years, we've kept this a secret in South Jersey. The 16th ounce size, mm-hmm. which is we're making a 16th.
Eighth.
An eighth.
And 3/16ths.
And a 3/16ths.
Six different colors.
Six different colors. So three sizes. But that 16th in winter when shit's tough, when stuff's tough. And they're feeding on the bottom. I thought it was like live.
I thought you said chips.
Chips. When chips are tough, they're feeding on the bottom on little bugs. Dude.
Right here. Forget about it.
Forget about it, dude. Match the hatch. Forget about
yep.
it. I'm excited about this. A lot of people are excited about this. Here's the other thing. I do want you to talk about the packaging, how yep. this is going to – because this is a cool deal. I want you to tell everybody – How this is going to be packaged, because that's cool.
Yeah, we messed around with it, talking about the design a little bit more and the packaging together. We started with a Gamakatsu number one hook. I wanted it to be, we wanted it to be a really high quality. So we got a really high quality hook, which was a concern for a lot of people fishing a little teeny hook like that. And then that balanced head is really what I think helps keep it coming through the cover. It's rounded, it's balanced.
That's super important.
Dude,
the head design's super important, and
through,
the 90.
Comes through really well. And then the other part of it is we're going to have two jigs in each package for a retail price of $5.99.
Dude,
so essentially $3 a jig. And the way we're going to package it is we're going to put the weed guards in the package. So either you can put the weed guards in, just touch them in a drop of super glue, stick them in there, they'll never come out, or you can leave them out. A lot of people fish these kind of jigs, these micro jigs, with no weed guard.
With no weed guard, right?
So I would say 80 to 90% of the time, you don't need a weed guard.
Yep, so people watching right now that are drooling, they can't wait to buy it.
I'll tell you the difference.
Yeah, tell them when. When should they fish a weed guard and when shouldn't
yes.
they?
Without the weed guard in the jig, you throw it out there, you get a bite, you essentially just got to reel into them.
Done.
You're hooked.
It's over.
When you put that weed guard in there, you're going to be, you may have some brush around or heavier rock, and it'll just come through it really well. But when you have that weed guard in there, when you get that bite, you want to reel up your slack, and then you want to give them a little jack.
Little pop.
You want to give them a little, give them a little hook set. We're not talking like punching mats, jacking them. We're talking, you want to give them a little little pressure pop and then let them get that first head shake in, and then you'll get them. Because if you just reel into them with that weed guard, a lot of times you'll just barely skin hook them and they come up and they'll shake their head and come off.
Yep.
And the weed guard requires just a little hook set. And for most people, when they get a bite, you don't have to worry about them setting the hook. They will set the hook.
They'll set themselves.
But for a lot of finesse anglers that are very familiar with fishing finesse baits in Ned rigs, and you don't have to set the hook on a Ned rig.
Right.
You just reel into them.
Right.
And without the weed guard, same way. You just
yep.
reel into them. But with the weed guard, you got to put a little wood to them, and it's done. Done
yeah.
deal.
Now, they're turning lights out on us. Before they turn the lights out on us, what's the right rod and reel to use with this? We already mentioned you don't want to put this on a flipping rod.
Right.
What? Give us a roundabout on the right rod and reel and line.
A 7-foot medium heavy rod. I throw on a cashing rod. My beer got confiscated.
Oh my God.
He's like, can't let it get that hot.
Yeah.
It's illegal.
It's yeah. I think Brian's at three. What's that been up here? That's what I want. I like 8 pound leader to the end.
Yeah.
And I throw it on 12 pound braid.
Yeah.
And then just regular spinning reel.
Spinning rod. All right, yep. Caleb, we're getting kicked out. Before we do,
yep.
I want to call you to play it on one more thing. Grade yourself your first year on the Elite Series. Give yourself a report card, A, B, C, or D, or F. Give yourself a grade on your first Elite Series, and then give me expectations for the last two events.
I'm going to give myself a C.
Okay.
Because I'm learning, dude. I'm learning so much.
Yep.
I'm telling you, I'm learning so many lessons each event, each day. You know, biggest takeaways, I think, is I want to build my confidence in my decisions that I make on the water.
Yeah.
When I rip up my trolling motor and run 10 miles down lake, I don't want to think about what I was doing 10 minutes ago.
Trust your gut.
Trust my gut.
Yep.
I need to get into that mindset and be efficient, because if I second guess myself and run 10 minutes back, I'm going to think about going back down the second I get there, and I'll spin myself out. So having faith in my decisions that I make on the water is my number one lesson that I'm trying to get settled in with.
Yep.
And my expectations for the last two events is, you know, I'm sitting in 60th in points right now. You know, I'd really like to make all of our goals to make the classic. But, you know, if I can make the AOI championship and still have a fight, a dog in the fight,
yeah,
going into that,
yep,
that's the goal.
Okay, that's the goal. All right, yeah. Johnny, we're about to leave, but let everybody know they see this stuff. They heard about the bomb shot.
Micro jig is available later this fall. I don't know if we mentioned that.
Okay.
We're talking like October, November time frame, just in time for the winter series.
That's right, for the winter leagues.
Bomb shot is available now.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yep. And then and how can they get them? Local retailers?
Bomb shot is available anywhere. Local retailers, Tackle Warehouse, you name it, you got it.
Okay. And Caleb, people watching, like, I don't know this dude. I want to start following him. I like this guy. How can they follow you and your escapades?
Escapade?
On tour.
I'm on Facebook and Instagram. Caleb Sumrall Fishing on Facebook. Caleb.Sumrall on Instagram. I'm always on Instagram, Facebook, stuff like that.
You.
And I'm there, man.
Iberia.
New Iberia, Louisiana.
Represent New Iberia, baby.
There you have it. Let me thank everybody for tuning in day one at ICAST. We're going to be back here tomorrow, Bri, all day.
Yes, yes.
9 to 6, broadcasting. Want to thank everybody for tuning in live to BU TV. Want to thank our crew here, Brian the Carpenter, doing the dirty work back there, Eric the intern. 12-year-old coming
Jeff.
In. Jeff in the house. Jeff Dude. Saved the day today. Shout out to Jeff. Of course, our dean, Pete Glusick.
He's gone.
He's gone already. He went to eat because they didn't feed him all day.
He's eating a chicken sandwich.
He's got three pizzas on the bed by himself.
rolling around.
Yeah, and
in
Justin,
his
and Justin rolling hanging around. Back there. And the rest of the crew.
Pepperoni on his nipples.
Pizza, man. Pete. We're having a good day. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow. More great stuff from ICAST. You don't want to miss it. You're going to see it here first.